insights into the Holy Quran.
Indeed, this Quran guides to what is most upright and gives the good news to the faithful who do righteous deeds, that there is a great reward for them.
In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another edition of the program, Insights into the Holy Quran, by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hawza Seminary of Qom. Please stay with us.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Hello everyone, dear brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, and we're going to be with you with another edition of Insights into the Holy Quran. And in this edition of the program, we'll discuss the 22nd chapter of the Holy Quran, Surah Al-Hajj, or Pilgrimage. Before moving on, let's just listen to some verses of this chapter, and we'll be back with you. Stay with us.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful. And if they dispute with you, then say, Allah is most knowing of what you do. Allah will judge between you on the day of resurrection concerning that over which you used to differ.
In this program, we will be trying to cover 68th, also 69th verses of this chapter. وَإِن جَادَلُوكَ فَقُلِ اللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. And if they dispute with you, say, Allah knows best what you do. اللَّهُ يَحْكُمُ بَيْنَكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فِيمَا كُنْتُمْ فِيهِ تَخْتَلِفُونَ. Allah will judge between you on the Day of Judgment concerning that in which you used to differ. You may remember in the previous program we talked about the 67th verse, لِكُلِّ أُمَّةٍ جَعَلْنَا مَنْسَكَنْهُمْ نَاسِكُوهُ. So the Almighty Allah said that there is appointed different rites for different people and nations. So they are not allowed to dispute with their prophets, and they have to listen to their prophets, and thus they will be actually invited unto the real Lord, and they will be upon a straight guidance, following the prophet, which was at the first place. إِنَّكَ لَعَلَى هُدًى مُسْتَقِيمٍ. You are upon a straight guidance, and you will guide people to the straight path if they listen to you. So in this verse, it says, وَإِن جَادَلُوكَ فَقُلِ اللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. The divine prophets, with having those plenty miracles and logic, were still confronted with some obstinate people. So in this verse, it has been indicated that if they continue conflicting and having disputes with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, and if his words do not affect their hearts, he is to answer them that Allah knows the best about what deeds they have. So the verse says, وَإِن جَادَلُوكَ فَقُلِ اللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. If they dispute with you, say Allah knows best what you do.
We hope and pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the ability to cover more of His divine
In this
word.
Series of programs, we will inshallah discuss the Holy Quran with a thematic
we
approach.
We will inshallah discuss the chapter.
الفؤاد تعلقا وتلاه في جنح الدجى متدبرا
The context in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in this verse is the context of mentioning the ills and problems and evils of the people of the book, the previous nations who have received revelation, and more particularly the Jew.
Now let's listen to some of the verses of the Holy Quran.
First, let's listen to a few verses.
Now let's listen to some verses of the Holy Quran.
Insights into the Holy Quran. By Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hawza Seminary of Qom.
Somehow it seems that knowing this fact, that Allah knows best what you do, the Almighty Allah is both relieving the heart of the Holy Prophet and at the same time is telling him what to do. It's both relieving and it's both some kind of teaching. And on the other hand, when the good people, the people with good deeds, the Muslims, the ones who are believers, know this fact, that even the prophets will be confronted, even the ones having miracles and logics will be confronted by some obstinate people, this would give them also patience. This would also give patience to the heart of the believers. So that's why the verses, and if they dispute with you, say Allah knows best what you do. So if they do not believe you, you'd have to refer them to the Day of Judgment, because Allah knows best what you do. And He will judge you. Allahu yahkumu baynakum yawm al-qiyamah. So this is one of the best ways to control the disputes, to control the confrontations, believing in the Day of Judgment, and also reminding some people of this fact. So, Allahu yahkumu baynakum yawm al-qiyamah. Allah will judge between you on the Day of Judgment. The best and true form of judgment will only happen if complete knowledge is prior to that. So, at first it says Allah knows best what you do, and as a result He will yahkumu baynakum yawm al-qiyamah. That's why the Almighty Allah is the best judge, because He knows best what you do. فَقُلِ اللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. Regarding these two verses, some of the commentators have said that it means that if they dispute with the Prophet ﷺ about sacrifice and cancellation of their religion, he should tell them that Allah knows best their rejection and He will give them their chastisement. And in the next verse, the Quran announces that Allah will judge between them about what they used to defer, and in hereafter, where everything returns to unity and oneness, and those differences will be removed, He will make the facts manifest to all of us. So, the faith in hereafter is the best thing for bringing the disputations and the differences under subjugation. Allahu yahkumu baynakum yawm al-qiyamah fima kuntum fihi takhtalifun. Also, this part of the verse where it says kuntum fihi takhtalifun means these differences which cause Some of these confrontations actually have long history, and the best way to control them is to remind some people of the Day of Judgment. Thank you for staying with us, dear listeners. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Don't be saddened by what you see, by all the lies and treachery. Life is cruel, but don't worry. In your heart lies the key to unwind all the secrets. This life we see.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parsetoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio.
Spiritual message of Islam.
His door is open no matter who you are. Just take the first step, you'll see it's not so far. If we all open our eyes to see, he is all that we need right now. And we can all come together somewhere, somehow.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-Aliyyi al-Azim. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين أجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف وجعلنا من أعوانه وأنصاره وشيعته. The last point we'd been discussing was that community of Ahlul Bayt is a community which is built around the truth and is trying to be always at the service of truth. And we want to continue this and address another important quality, and that is unity. Interestingly, in the Quran you find a close link between being truthful and united. It is only truth that can unite a community, because truth is always one. If you all try to serve the truth, there is no way to be divided, there is no way to fight. As soon as we forget the truth, when we start thinking about our own interest, our own ego, then divisions start and there is no end. Therefore, now I want to move on to the relation that should exist between the members of the community of Ahlul Bayt. So a community which is truthful and therefore united, the members are in maximum friendship and unity with each other. We have many, many hadiths about the love, about the support that should be between the brothers and sisters in faith, between mu'mineen, between the lovers of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. I have chosen some hadith about the significance of helping mu'mineen. A community of Ahlul Bayt is a community that everyone is ready to help. So in our hadith we find many things about the need for helping each other. These hadiths are all in Usul al-Kafi. There is a section, باب قضاء حاجة المؤمن. Whole section is about helping your brothers and sisters so that their need can be met. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, إن الله عز وجل خلق خلقا من خلقه إن تجبهم لقضاء حوائج فقراء شيعتنا. Allah has created a group of people and chosen them to help the poor Shia of us. Not only financial faqir. It can be financial, it can be education wise. Those Shia who are in need, these are the people who are selected and honored and blessed by Allah to look after these needy members of the community. لِيُثِيبَهُمْ عَلَى ذَلِكَ الْجَنَّةِ. Then Allah rewards them heaven. By looking after the weak Shia, Allah rewards them Jannah. So what is Imam Sadiq doing here? Isn't he establishing a community? Isn't he saying very clearly that I want you to be together, support each other, and act as one family? فَإِنْ اسْتَطَعْتَ أَنْ تَكُونَ مِنْهُمْ فَكُنْ. If you can be one of those people, try to be. There is no reason why you cannot be one of those people. It's not, you know, something that is given to some people and not to others. This is opportunity available. No one can say, I didn't know or I didn't have opportunity. Everyone can be a helper for the rest of the community.
Oh, what a wonderful world this would be if we all open our eyes to see. He is all that we need right now, and we can all come together somewhere, somehow. His door is open no matter who you are. Just take the first step, you'll see it's not so far. Down this road that holds all the answers. Open your heart to something greater.
His holy book speaks pure and true, and always tells us what we must do. His last prophet was sent as a guide, an example by which we abide. There is salvation for those who seek to find the one and only source of peace and understanding of why we are here, who created us, who we must fear. So what a wonderful world this would be if we all open our eyes to see. He is all that we need right now, and we can all come together somewhere, somehow.
In another hadith, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, لقضاء حاجة امرئ مؤمن. If you meet the need of a mu'min, أحب إلى الله من 20 حجة, is better than 20 حج. If you help a mu'min, is better than 20 حج. كل حجة ينفق فيها صاحبها 100,000. 20 Hajj, that for every one of them, the person spends 100,000, perhaps means 100,000 dirham. He spends lots of money, you know, a very big, you know, qurbani, everything. But help one mu'min is better than 20 Hajj. Again, not to underestimate Hajj. Hajj is very important. You know, Hajj is taken like a measure. It's very important, but to help a mu'min is such a great thing that is better than 20 hajj. In another hadith, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, "Man tafa bil bayt usbu'an." If someone goes around Kaaba and does 7 tawaf, kataballahu azza wa jallahu 6,000 hasana. 6,000 hasana will be registered for him. وَمَحَا أَنْهُ سَتَّةَ آلَافْ سَيِّئَةً. 6,000 sins will be removed. وَرُفِعَ لَهُ سَتَّةَ آلَافْ دَرَجَةً He will be raised 6,000 ranks. Then Imam said, but if you help one mu'min to overcome the problem that he has, أَفْضَلْ مِنْ تَوَافٍ وَتَوَافٍ حَتَّى عَدَّ عَشْرًا It's better than one tawaf, better than two tawaf, three tawaf, till Imam said 10 tawaf. A mu'min is now in need of guidance, in need of help, in need of financial assistance, wants to get married, cannot find a good, you know, husband. So many ways to help each other. Don't always, you know, look for individual hasana. Look for social hasana, for community hasana. Something that you do for others, because the reward is much, much more than doing something just for yourself. Abu Basir says that Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, تَنَافَسُوا فِي الْمَعْرُوفِ لِإِخْوَانِكُمْ Compete each other in doing good for your brothers. Don't just compete for doing good for yourself. This is better for you. وَكُونُوا مِنْ أَهْلِ Try to be one of such people that help other mu'mineen. Then Imam said, فَإِنَّ لِلْجَنَّ بَابًا There is a gate for heaven. And the name of that gate is Al-Ma'roof. لا يدخل إلا من استنع المعروف في الحياة الدنيا. The only people who can enter through that gate are those who have done good to others. فإن العبد لا يمشي في حاجة أخيه المؤمن. The servant of Allah walks to help his brother and sister. فيوكل الله عز وجل به ملكين. Allah commissions two angels, one on his right, one on his left. يستغفران له ربه. They ask forgiveness for him. يدعوان بقى. Allah says, oh Allah, please do, you look after also him. He's looking after his brother, you look after him. Then Imam Sadiq said, والله لرسول الله أسر بقضاء حاجة المؤمن إذا وصلت إليه من صاحب الحاجة. By Allah, Rasulullah will be happier than the person that you are helping. This person will be very happy you are helping. But Rasulullah is even happier than that person. Do you want to make Rasulullah happy? So help your brothers and sisters. If Rasulullah sees that you are, mashallah, such a mature mu'min that you help brothers and sisters, you go out of your way to help them, then you make Rasulullah happy.
I'm looking back throughout the years to breathe is hard. And my eyes are choked with tears. Your face and hair are full of light. Now it will soon be time to go. I feel you feeling calm now. Did the angel let you know?
Oh Allah, please send your salutations to Muhammad and all Muhammad. Oh Allah, please forgive us. Please forgive all our sins and mistakes and shortcomings. Please enable us to serve you with full honesty and truthfulness and sincerity. Please include us among the best followers of Muhammad and Al Muhammad. Please protect and safeguard our community and our families and our youths from everything that you don't like. O Allah, please hasten the reappearance of Imam Zaman Ajjalallah Ta'ala Farajahu Sharif. Please make our Imam Zaman happy with what we do and what we say. Please answer his du'as for his faraj. Please give shifa to all people who are ill. Please give shifa to people who are ill in their body and in their soul. O Allah, please send your rahmah, your forgiveness to all who have passed away, especially brothers and sisters who were attending these majalis in this community and other communities. Our parents, our foreparents, our teachers, our ulama, our maraji, those who have passed away. Please let them be with Muhammad and Ali Muhammad right now. And please give long life and blessed life to the parents and to the teachers and maraji who are alive. O Allah, please make the last moment of our life the best moment of our life. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
That was the Characters of Shia Community by Hujjatul Islam, Dr. Shomali, in the program, The Spiritual Message of Islam.
My Ummah, he will say, Resulullah olmadı. Even though we've strayed from him and his way. My brothers, my sisters in Islam, let's struggle, work and pray. If we are to bring back the glory of his way. Ya Allah, Ya Rabb al-Alamin, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Rabbi, let the Ummah rise again.
Ya Allah,
Ya Rabb al-Alamin, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Rabbi, let the Ummah rise again. Let us see daylight again, once again.
In the limelight. Polar researchers will this week embark on a remarkable expedition aimed at providing crucial information about the vast iceberg, A68A, that has been spiraling northwards from Antarctica for the last year. A group from the British Antarctic Survey will set sail on Tuesday, 2nd of February, and head towards the iceberg, which has been floating in waters off the island of South Georgia for several weeks. The article you're about to hear has been written by the Observer journalist Robin McKee. The piece is titled Extraordinary Voyage on the Trail of the Trillion Ton Runaway Iceberg. Stay with us for more of Robin McKee's article. Polar researchers will this week embark on a remarkable expedition aimed at providing crucial information about the vast iceberg A68A that has been spiraling northwards from Antarctica for the last year. A group from the British Antarctic Survey will set sail on Tuesday, 2nd of February, and head towards the iceberg, which has been floating in waters off the island of South Georgia for several weeks. Once on site, they will direct robot submarines to probe the water underneath the vast frozen structure and study how fresh water, melting from the iceberg, is affecting life in the ocean. Satellite images last week revealed that A68A has now split into two and could be in its death throes. However, it still remains a threat to the surrounding ecosystem. This iceberg is the size of a large island, and the torrents of very cold freshwater emerging from it as it slowly melts could have really adverse effects on the phytoplankton in the waters of South Georgia Island, Pavel Abramson, the expedition's chief scientist, told the Observer last week. And that could have very important repercussions. Essentially, we have this gigantic ice cube floating in the ocean, and it is cooling and freshening the water around it. That raises worries that this could affect the base of the ocean food chain. Ecosystems in these cold regions are delicately balanced. Marine biologists worry that phytoplankton, microscopic marine organisms that float in the water, could be killed off. This would affect the creatures that feed on phytoplankton, such as krill, a type of crustacean. In turn, this could affect populations of seals, penguins, and whales, which all eat krill and come to South Georgia to feed. Studying such impacts has become vitally important in recent years, according to scientists. Ice shelves at both poles are being destabilized by climate change, and this is increasing the risk that more and more giant icebergs could be set loose and drift to lower latitudes, causing major disruption. The A68A is one of the largest ever icebergs identified by scientists. When it broke free from the Larsen Sea ice shelf in Antarctica in 2017, it had a surface area of 5,800 square kilometers and was twice the size of Luxembourg. Researchers reckon that it would have weighed an estimated 1 trillion tons. For the first 3 years of its existence, the A68A floated close to the coast of the Antarctic Peninsula. Early last year, though, it moved northwards into open waters and began to spiral clockwise slowly towards the island of South Georgia. Since it began its ocean odyssey, the A68A has lost about half its surface area and about two-thirds of its original volume through melting. It's still vast, though, said Abramson. It is still about two-thirds of the size of South Georgia itself, which is remarkable as it is almost 4 years since it calved from the Larsen ice sheet. Late last year, it was feared the iceberg was heading directly to South Georgia, where it could have become grounded under island's shallow coastal seabed. This would have disturbed marine ecosystems and blocked feeding paths for penguins and seals on South Georgia. Abramson and 10 colleagues have spent the last 2 weeks in quarantine and are now ready to board the British research ship, the RRS James Cook. It is expected to set sail on Tuesday, 2nd of February, and to reach South Georgia a few days later. Obviously, it will be far too dangerous to get too near the iceberg, added Abramson. Instead, we will rely on gliders. These are robot submarines that can adjust their buoyancy so they can study what is happening at different depths. Each glider is 1.5 meters in length and is fitted with wings that allow the craft to glide up and down the ocean, measuring variables such as temperature, salinity, and concentrations of chlorophyll. This latter variable can help gauge how much phytoplankton there is at a given depth in the ocean and at a given location, providing key data about the health of the ocean at that position. The craft navigates using GPS signals and can operate remotely for days at a time. It will not be an easy task despite the sophistication of the team's robot helpers. Avoiding the main iceberg will be relatively straightforward, said Abramson. But he added, however, there could be problems with smaller bits breaking off it. Even a small iceberg can cause quite a bit of damage to a ship, so we will have to be cautious. After a month of gathering data from the iceberg and from other parts of the South Antarctic, the James Cook will return to its base. This region is facing a lot of changes as the climate heats up, and this is going to be an excellent chance to work out how these changes might affect us all, said Abramson. This iceberg will give us a much better understanding of climate change impacts.
Ask the followers of the remembrance if ye know not.
You're listening to the program The Key on IRIB English Radio with Shiraz Hossein Agha. a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Rome and a PhD in philosophy.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, The Key, here at IRIB English Radio. I'm your host, Shiraz Agha. Thank you for joining us here today. Today we're going to be examining a very important problem, and that is the problem of God's sole right to legislate. We know that God Almighty is the creator of the universe, and therefore he is the owner of all beings. When we say owner, meaning cosmologically he is the owner. He owns their very existence, and therefore he is the only being who regulates them. And he has authority over them, and consequently he has the right to govern them. And therefore, based on this right to regulate and manage them, he has the right to legislate and formulate laws for them. A question arises is that we see today in Islamic governments, such as the various Islamic governments that we see in the world today, we see that these governments, they form cabinets, they form congresses, senates, or whatever, or to put it in other words, they're divided into various branches: the executive branch, the legislative branch. They're divided into various branches, one of which is the legislative branch of the government, right? Whose responsibility is the formulation of laws. Doesn't this contradict what we just mentioned, that God has the sole right to legislate? The answer to this question is no. And this doesn't contradict this. And if governments, Islamic governments, if one part of an Islamic government is a legislative division of this government, it doesn't detract from the Islamic legitimacy of this government. Why? Because this branch of government doesn't have any responsibility but the responsibility of the demarcation and the delineation of certain boundaries and limits, which is manifested in the form of a program, which they then give to the authorities under them in the government, within the parameters of which the divine laws should be applied. This is all that these people do. It sounds complicated, but it's really quite simple. God Almighty has given us certain laws, right? Which He has explained to us in the Quran and in the Sunnah of the Prophets and the Imams, alayhi wasalam. We have these laws in our hand. The question arises, how do we implement them within society? This legislative branch of government, right? Its responsibility is to set out and to write out a program and to set out certain parameters within which these laws are to be applied. They then, after writing this out, which comes in the form of, like, let's say, a constitution or a charter, which then they hand over to the people under them, the authorities under them, who then apply these laws to society. In the Holy Quran, we see that in many verses, God Almighty says that any law which is not in accordance with the divine law will be considered disbelief and oppression and transgression. For example, in Surah Maidah, verse 44, God says, "وَمَنْ لَمْ يَحْكُمْ بِمَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْكَافِرُونَ." Somebody legislates by means, or somebody rules by means of a law that God has not revealed, then this person is a disbeliever. وَمَنْ لَمْ يَحْكُمْ بِمَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ. If somebody does not rule by means of a law that God has revealed, this person is a oppressor. This is mentioned in Surah Maidah, verse 45. Also, God says, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَحْكُمْ بِمَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ. If somebody does not rule based on the law that God has revealed, this person is a transgressor. Thank you for joining us here on The Key. We were looking at God's right to legislate and its relationship with the human governance. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Shiraz Hussain Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Rome and a PhD in philosophy on the program The Key on IRIB English Radio.
You can also send your questions to English Radio at irib.ir.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
In the limelight.
U.S. accuses China's COMAC of military-civil fusion, but that won't stop the rising airplane maker from taking global market share, says Scott Foster, writer in an article published under the heading, China's Jets Set to Challenge Boeing and Airbus. Stay tuned for the details, please. Aerospace is one of the key industries targeted by Beijing's Made in China 2025 drive. Could this become a problem for Boeing, Airbus, and other non-Chinese suppliers of aircraft, aircraft engines, and other related equipment? The outgoing Donald Trump administration apparently thought so. In mid-January, it put Commercial Aircraft Corporation of China, COMAC, on its list of companies tied to the Chinese military. This prevents Americans from investing in COMAC, although they would probably not to do so anyway. COMAC is not publicly traded and has issued bonds only in the Chinese domestic market. The Pentagon is concerned about China's military-civil fusion development strategy, an alarming business model similar to those of Boeing, Raytheon, and other American companies that serve both military and civilian markets. Military-civil fusion has even become an American acronym, MCF, raising it to the level of official Washington, D.C., claptrap. As the Center for a New American Security reports, MCF has emerged as a key analytic driver of the intensifying economic and technological competition between the United States and the PRC in recent years. China's MCF, however, is misunderstood, and its success is hardly a foregone conclusion. So is COMAC a threat or not? COMAC may be added to America's entity list, meaning its American suppliers would have to receive special licenses from the Commerce Department in order to ship their products to COMAC. This could be very serious, since without key American components, COMAC airplanes could not fly. Its American suppliers include engine makers Pratt & Whitney and CFM International, avionics suppliers Honeywell and Rockwell Collins, PPG Aerospace Materials, and others. COMAC was established in 2008 by the Aviation Industry Corporation of China, Aluminum Corporation of China, Bao Steel Group Corporation, Shanghai Gusheng Corporation, an investment company, and the State-Owned Assets Supervision and Administration Commission of the State Council, that is SASAC. SASAC has a majority stake in COMAC. COMAC is not controlled by the Chinese military, but it is an instrument of national policy. As stated on its website, the Party Committee of SASAC performs the responsibilities mandated by the Central Committee of the Chinese Communist Party. COMAC now has two products, the ARJ-21 Regional Jet, ARJ stands for Advanced Regional Jet, and the C 919 narrow-body single-aisle jet aircraft. The ARJ-21 is a 78 to 90 seat passenger plane with a range of 2,225 to 3,700 kilometers. The first delivery was made in 2015 to Chengdu Airlines, which started commercial flights the following year. China's Global Times reports that close to 50 ARJ-21s are now in service and that more than 20 were produced last year. According to COMAC's website, a total of 616 orders have been obtained from 23 customers. The C-919 is a 156 to 168-seat passenger plane with a range of 4,075 to 5,555 kilometers. It is undergoing flight tests now, with the first deliveries to China Eastern Airlines scheduled to be made by the end of this year. According to COMAC, a total of 815 orders have been obtained from 28 customers. The ARJ-21 competes with regional jets made by Embraer of Brazil, Bombardier of Canada, and if it can ever get its space jet into service, Mitsubishi Aircraft Corporation of Japan. The C-919 will compete with Airbus A320 and Boeing 737 aircraft. In 2017, COMAC and United Aircraft Corporation, UAC of Russia, formed the China-Russia Commercial Aircraft International Co., LTD, that is CRAIC, to jointly develop a long-range wide-body aircraft that will be assembled in Shanghai. This is the CR-929, a 280-seat wide-body, dual-aisle passenger jet with a range of 12,000 kilometers. It is intended to compete with Boeing and Airbus long-haul aircraft, initially in China, Russia, and the CIS, and eventually in the global market. Manufacturing is scheduled to start this year. UAC was established in 2006 through the merger of Russian aircraft manufacturers Ilyushin, Irkut, Myokin, Sukhoi, Topolov, and Yakolov. Primarily a defense contractor today, it aspires to become a major supplier of commercial aircraft as Ilyushin and Topolov were in Soviet times.
This is Foresight. A program on how to worship Allah. Today's great tip: what are the blessings and the secrets of the congregational prayers in Islam as far as our ubudiyah, our servitude of Allah? So, dear listeners, talking about the beauties of congregational prayers and how congregational prayers can truly enhance and increase our ubudiyya, our servitude of Allah, we find that an action which has great spiritual rewards, an action which has great worldly benefits, and an action which has great practical implementations truly will enhance our servitude of Allah. And so, along these lines, congregational prayers is a symbol of the power of Muslims. For of course, when the Muslims come together in rows, in discipline, aligned, following one leader, we find that this is a show of power. We also find that the congregational prayers shows the closeness of the hearts of the Muslims, for they stand next to each other, side by side, with no discrimination and with no prejudice. This congregational prayer also shows the solidarity in the unity of purpose of the Muslims, where they have all come together to worship Allah, the Lord of the worlds, the only God, the one and only. And so we find that in this manner, the congregational prayers are so very important, because in our servitude of Allah, we are showing so many different things. Again, such as the power of Muslims, such as the closeness of their hearts and the unity of their purpose. It is these kinds of practical implementations of the congregational prayers which truly enhances our servitude of Allah. For surely it is servitude of Allah to show the power of the Muslims and for the hearts of the Muslims to be close to one another and for the Muslims to have a unity of purpose.
Dear listeners of the program Foresight, my name is Muhammad. Today, I'm going to read to you an excerpt from Munajatul Muridin, which means the whispered prayer of the devotees. Stay with me. Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. O God, with you lies the remedy of my illness, the cure for my burning thirst, the coolness of my ardor, the removal of my distress. Be my intimate in my loneliness, the releaser of my stumble, the forgiver of my slip, the acceptor of my repentance, the responder to my supplication, the patron of preserving me from sin, the one who frees me from my neediness. Cut me not off from you, and keep me not far from you, O my bliss and my garden, O my this world and my hereafter. O most merciful of the merciful.
Welcome back, dear listeners. In continuation to what we were saying regarding congregational prayers and how they enhance our servitude of Allah, We were talking about how this congregational prayers has so many spiritual rewards, it has many worldly benefits, and it has practical implementations within it, which all of them together enhance the servitude of Allah, not just in an individual sense, but in a collective sense as well. And so this congregational prayer also eliminates discord amongst the Muslims. Of course, when you are coming to congregational prayers and you see each other, you see the other Muslims, you see their families, you know about their problems, you try to solve their problems, you have good and amicable relations with each other, you treat each other with respect, with love, with kindness, and with mercy, of course, this eliminates discord. And servitude to Allah has this integral aspect within it, that if we want to serve Allah, the Mighty, the Exalted, then of course we need to eliminate discord and disagreement amongst us to the extent possible. Now, of course, a disagreement or a difference of opinion is not a problem, but creating discord, creating strife, creating fitna, that is definitely not liked by Allah. And of course, it is not that it is not just not liked by Allah, but rather it causes chaos amongst the Muslims. It is detrimental and harmful to the Muslims. And so our ubudiyah is truly enhanced by this congregational prayers, for it eliminates discord. Also, the blessings of the congregational prayers includes the fact that it strikes fear into the hearts of the enemies. And you might ask, well, how does a form of worship, an act of worship, create fear in the hearts of the enemies? Well, dear friends, of course, when the enemies see that the Muslims have come together 5 times a day to pray together in unity under one leadership, then this shows power. It shows a collective resolve. It shows a group moving towards the same goals. And it is this that puts fear into the enemies of God. Congregational prayers is no simple thing, my dear friends. Truly, it enhances our servitude of Allah. And the last thing in this segment, congregational prayers upsets the hypocrites. Of course, as you know, the hypocrites are those who profess to have Islam on the outside, but on the inside, they hate Islam. And so the congregational prayers forces a person to come and pray together and to be nice to one another and respectful and merciful and help one another. And so truly, this is something which upsets the hypocrites, and it really disturbs the hypocrites. Beautiful blessings of congregational prayers in our servitude of Allah.
IRIB English Radio.
Our website is parstoday.com.